Our guest today on the Yoga Therapy Hour is Gina Shelton, and I've known Gina for many years now, but I didn't know that she was a pediatric yoga therapist at Cook Children's Healthcare System in Fort Worth, Texas. And, you know, after listening to her, I'm realizing that this work should be in every children's hospital in the whole United States. It is so needed to help children learn how to cope with all the medical trauma that they're probably undergoing in the hospital. Most of the kids she works with are under 18. They're in a hospital bed. They don't have the bodily autonomy that one might like, as you can imagine, going through all sorts of different healthcare tests and treatments. Their families are often very stressed out by this in a multitude of ways, if they even have a reliable family that is coming to visit and supporting them through this. Not all families have it together enough. So Gina might be that strong, stable person that comes in to co-regulate and to make this child feel seen and heard and understood and cared for. I mean, it's just heartbreaking thinking that, number one, a child has to go through this, but number two, some of them have to go through it almost alone without reliable family members to come visit and be there with them. So when I think of this, my heart breaks, number one, for all the children. But number two, it just makes me realize how important the work of yoga therapy is, that we are there to connect. We are there to help people breathe. We are there to help people feel the sensations so that they don't become totally disembodied. We're there to have fun, create focus, attention, concentration. There's so many good things that can come out of this, not to mention, as Gina talks about, she is a great person to look at the whole picture of all that's going on, make sure that child receives proper referrals. If she sees something that the PT should be aware of or be called in for, or something that the psychologist should be aware of and get called in for. So I think those of you who are interested in working in a hospital system and specifically with children, you are going to find this episode just remarkable. And I know I did. So let's go. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast. We hope that you're enjoying this podcast each and every week. In addition to this podcast, Marlisa Sullivan and myself, Amy Wheeler, we are hosting a group inside the Polyvagal Institute. It's a free group where you can learn about yoga, yoga therapy, and polyvagal theory. We'd love to have you come on over there too to enjoy some of that free content. And I'll put the link in the show notes so that you can get over there easily. All right, let's go over and meet our guest for today. Welcome, Gina. It's so nice to see you today.
So nice to be here. And apparently my dog's going to be here.
Who is
like this? You're in my chair. That's Coco.
Well, hi, Coco. So beautiful. I love that. You're joining us from Fort Worth, Texas. How long have you lived in Texas?
Well, I was born in Texas, and then late 20s when I moved to California the first time.
Okay.
And then we moved back. So my husband and I, both of our families are here. So we tend to move back and forth a fair amount.
Great. And so you work at Cook Children's Healthcare System. Tell us a little bit about, before we get into what you actually do, but tell us a little bit about Cook Children's Healthcare System.
Let's see. I want to say it's like the fourth or sixth largest employer in Fort Worth. It's a big system. There's a medical center where I am. They just opened another medical center out in Prosper, which is northwest of here, something like that, northeast of here. I haven't been out there. And then they also have primary care physicians like all over the area. And it's one of the major, like if something big happens to someone where they need dire medical stuff, the kids are probably going to get flown into Fort Worth. And they've done some cool stuff. Like last year, they were all over the news. They separated some conjoined twins and it was successful. It gets really cool. It's a cool place. They love kids.
You are a pediatric yoga therapist, which honestly, I've not heard. I mean, I know there's work with children, but did you create that title? Did they create that title?
I did not create that title. I was living in Los Angeles the last time I lived in Los Angeles, and I'm still connected to the Fort Worth yoga community because I've been back and forth. And someone posted an article about like Cook is doing yoga therapy for their pain kids. And I was like, what? You know, it was so cool. I read the whole article in other jobs. I've always been a big researcher of different things. And so I tried to research like, who's doing that? Like, what is this? How do I find out more about this? This is awesome. And I never really could find out more about it. And so then we moved back to Texas. The pandemic happened. I think it kind of stopped. And it was a contractor was doing it beforehand. So they kind of paused the program during the pandemic because of all the safety stuff. And then 2 years ago, the job I was doing, I was like, huh, you know, things aren't as great as I'd like them to be right now. And I just got on the IAYT website and there's a posting for a pediatric yoga therapist in Fort Worth. I'm like, I'm in Fort Worth.
Gosh. Wow. How serendipitous that you just happened to look at that time, but also how amazing that whoever's in charge there just decided to have a pediatric yoga therapist. It's really mind-blowing, actually.
Yes, there's two of us, actually. Stacy Bush is my counterpart. We work through the pain program. So we have a pain clinic, and there's not very many pain clinics all over the country for pediatrics. And the doctors are amazing. Two of them do acupressure, acupuncture. So they're looking for non-pharmacological treatments for pain. And so that's how it came about, is through that.
When we say pediatric, is that anyone under 18?
For the most part, we have had up to about 25 kids that have special needs along the way, and they just haven't seen it beneficial to boot them out of the program yet. But for the most part, yes, 18 and under. There's some oncology kids that will end up being there a little bit longer, some other stuff.
So your main job is to help the children who have pain. Is that accurate?
Mostly. We also work with the mental health department. So we teach classes. They have a partial hospitalization program that the kids are unenroll them from their school, enroll them there. They're there for 2 weeks at least. We teach two classes a week for the partial hospitalization program. And then they've got an inpatient program and we teach in there twice a week too. So we teach some classes and then the rest we have until recently been all inpatient in the hospital. Kids, pain, oncology kids, epilepsy kids, like just all kinds of anybody who needs some little nervous system regulation.
All right. So that's what I want to get into. Would you say your main superpower is helping children to regulate their nervous systems?
Hoping to, because there's co-regulation. We can go in and we get mostly kids who have pain or something going on and anxiety, right? Because everyone has something going on in the hospital, but it's kind of like the kids who are next level need help calming down. And we can go in and sometimes you just help regulate them in that moment. Sometimes it is like if the parents are on board and they work with them. And what was it, a kid I taught Niyasam, or I just call it finger flick breath. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even sure he was listening. And then the mom was like, oh, he did that last night. And I was like, wow, awesome. So.
And so when you talk about co-regulating, some people may hear that term or not know what that is. How would you describe that?
Just connection. You go in, we meet them where they are. And so, you know, we've got such a wide variety of kids, some with ADHD already on top of whatever's going on, all that. So you come in and they're in this place, you know, stark room, maybe their parents aren't even there. And there's just people constantly coming in of like, I need this, I need this. And so one of the things I use most is I get on the floor. I carry a knee pad thing around with me and I get below them. I'm tall and everyone walks in and is over them in that bed. So I just get on the floor. I'm like, hey, and just start talking to them. What's going on today? You know, what do you like to do? We have lots of things to help engage. We have lots of toys that we carry around. We're like, you want to see my toy? And get them to play and just kind of get them in this different state. So then you can start to say, okay, can we talk about breath? And we teach them. That's always the first thing we do is like, let's feel your breath. You know, if you take a big breath in, where do you feel it? And Their answer is, I don't, or my nose, or my throat, or my chest, or my belly, you know. And then just exploring that a little bit more. And like, we just kind of go from there.
And did they kind of train you how to do this? Or did you just figure it out? Like, okay, I'm going to go in before. And then the breath seems like the likely thing because maybe they're in a hospital bed.
Yes and no. I mean, luckily, Stacy, my counterpart, had worked within when there was a contract. She worked a little bit. I mean, she had taught the classes. So it was like, okay, we got these down. And then she had shadowed a little bit with some of the other yoga therapists that were in there. Because I remember the first time we went in, I was like, oh my goodness, like, I'm not sure what I'm doing here. And I've taught kids. Like, part of it is I had to have shown that I had had a kids training and taught kids. So the first few times was like, whoa, what do I do here? And so luckily, I kind of shadowed her the first time. I was like, okay, you can do this.
I'm just imagining myself in your position, like going in there. I think my heart would break to see children suffering. Oh my God. Like, I feel like crying right now, even thinking of going in there to connect with them in this way, because I don't know, when I saw my dad in the hospital, he was like a pincushion. They were just in jabbing here, poking there, and I need this and eat that. And he had no autonomy. He basically lost control over his body, meaning all the healthcare providers just did what they did and he didn't have any choice. I can't imagine, even if a yoga therapist came to him and he's in his 80s, to spend time and connect and, hi, who are you? What brings you joy? Like, even for an adult, that's very emotionally moving for me. But to think of really unwell children, is that hard?
At times, the hardest time is when you know they don't have a support structure. It's not as hard. If they've got family that are there and they're on board and they've got support and like you see it. So the harder ones are the ones that, you know, like if you walk in and you're trying to teach this kid to breathe and they don't have a stable home, or, you know, it's whoever, grandpa, another grandma's coming to get them. Like, those are the hardest ones. 'Cause you're like, me teaching you to breathe doesn't give you any amount of safety. You don't have the fundamental safety. Those are really hard.
Yeah. And it's probably like being a social worker, you know, that they're going to get released back into the wild at some point.
Yeah. And you just go, I hope I planted some seeds that when they do have a stable foundation, maybe they remember some of the stuff I taught them.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you on one hand, what is teaching someone to breathe if they don't have proper shelter and security at home and food? But on the other hand, what else do you have when you don't have all that other stuff? You have your breath and your mind. I mean, it wouldn't be surprising to me if you did plant a seed that actually did really help them long term.
That's the hope.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, here, we'll lighten the load a little bit. I did bring in, I actually have some of the toys that we use. I was I can have some props. And so I love, this is called a true balance toy. Well, I'm going to stack it up too quick here. I'll not stack it up on purpose.
Oh, those that are listening, you'll have to go to YouTube to see. It's like looks like it would require a lot of focus to get those little wooden discs to stack up on one another.
Yeah. I call this like a moving meditation type thing. 'Cause I mean, the kids will get quiet and get still, and I'll encourage them, like, are you sitting up tall and can you breathe?
Are they able to do it? Because it looks very hard.
It's pretty hard. When I first got them, I'd never used it before. It would not stack up. Like, it was just kind of crooked, and I had to sit there. I was still talking to my coworker, and I was just like, I give up. And I was just still holding it. And then eventually it just stacked up because I gave up. And then once you do it, there's a neuro connection, right? Your brain like knows how to do it. So it's easier. But yeah, some don't, and some will, they'll cheat and be like, look, I did it, you know? And I'm like, yay, you know, 'cause it's not about doing it. It's a tool to see like what's going on with how this kid operates. Do they give up instantly once they can't get it? Some will sit there and try it for 20 minutes, you know, the whole time. They're just like, you can talk to me, whatever. I'm getting this thing, you know? So
it's amazing.
It's just another little peek into how this kid operates. Then to know like, okay, when they get something hard, they're going to quit. So let's make sure we keep things a little lighter. And so
And did the hospital come up with that toy, or did you see it? How did you
The
create that?
contractors actually had this one, and I'm not sure. We have a bunch of different things. So here's another one. I don't know if these will work. These are my daughter's that I did have before. I don't know if it's gonna, it doesn't work as well as mine at the hospital. The one at the hospital, we can flow with them. This one's just stuck. But it'll
Interesting.
flow back and forth, and you can grab their hand and you flow it to them, and they flow it back to you. And so again, it's like another way to connect and play. It's kind of like you're getting two things in there.
And are they all in a hospital bed, or some could get out of the bed and walk around?
Some can get out of the bed. I mean, most can. Not all of them can. And so, yeah, most, I would say in the hospital, 75, 85%, we're doing, if we do movement, we're doing it in bed. And then there's some kids that will bring a mat in and do some stuff depending on what they want and where they are.
Ones that little do any type of focus or meditation or prayer or whatever the kid wants to call it, are they able to do that at such a young age?
It varies. I mean, mostly I would say our average age, because we have been tracking like what we do, our average age is usually about 13. So
Okay.
we don't get, I mean, because the ones that are really little, we mostly just play with them. And then sometimes if they're sleepy, I put a lot of kids to sleep. They start to get sleepy no matter what age they're. I'm like, hey, I can do a little guided relaxation, meditation. And if you fall asleep, that's fine. And so we will.
Have you been part of the Yoga Therapy Hour listening community for almost 2 years now? Well, we are ready to take it to the next step. And so every 2 weeks on the new moon and the full moon, we're going to start offering free meditations for the months of June, July, and August 2024. These meditations are a way for us to get to know each other and to actually look into each other's eyes through Zoom, but really to spend a little more time together so that there's a two-way communication between Optimal State, myself, Amy Wheeler, and the audience. So if you'd like to join us, look in the show notes. It's free. You just jump on Zoom on the new moon and on the full moon. And we'd love to have you come if it fits into your schedule. Lovely, lovely. And so, what do you think is the most important mechanism that you can bring to the table? Is it play? Is it breath? Is it connection? Or can you not choose one?
It's all of them, right? We love to divide everything out, but it's all connected, you know. So the more you play and the more you get them connected to your breath, you know, some of the little kids, you can't go in there explain why the breath is so important, but you want them to breathe. We'll take party blowers in there and be like, blow on this party blower, and they love it, and they're having so much fun, and they're working their exhale. And you know what I mean? So we've just over the last 2 years found more and more things. They're like, okay, how do we get them to breathe? You know, the first thing probably is connection, and then depending on the age and what's going on, if it's any kind of younger or if the kid's more into play, we'll bring in play. If they're a little bit older and can listen to science and learn some stuff, I mean, you know. We do a lot of teaching of interoception. Where do you feel your breath? And I'll do a whole lot of, especially because we work with pain, I'll get them in a simple pose, like a side body stretch with your knees to one side and your arm overhead, stretching. And I'll just be like, because they always get asked, what's your pain score? 1 to 10. You know, I'm like, okay, on a different, what's the sensation? How much do you feel this stretch? And I'll go, okay. And I usually try to all adjust it till I get them to around a 4. And all of this I learned from my teacher, Sherry Browerman. She's big on kind of like having a staying in a pose for a while and seeing if you can get it to relax. So I get them to about a 4, and then we work on breath and see if they can soften. And I'm like, you tell me when it's no longer a 4. And you know, they'll do it. I'm like, so you can do that with pain too. You know, if your belly's hurting and you just breathe and see if you can soften it. And also tell them it takes practice. You know, we try to get them to, when are you going to practice your breath? You know, when pain flares up, you can't just automatically be able to breathe. You have to practice
Wow, that's so amazing.
it
It sounds like you have quite a bit of time with them. I mean, could you take anywhere between 10 minutes to an hour? Or what's typical?
Typically, it varies, but usually at least 20 minutes. Some kids are really into it and they're getting it, and we're just clicking. Yeah, we'll spend up to an hour with them. And if we have time, it kind of depends on how heavy our patient load is and stuff like that. And then some kids, like I said, you know, we see 2 or 3 times. Some kids, if they're oncology and they're in bone marrow transplant, you know, we'll have them for almost a month, you know, and they're not always willing to do anything when they're going through that. So yeah, and then the WeWork inpatient, there's a traumatic brain injury unit that has a neuro gym and all kinds of stuff. So those kids will have for a while too. So.
Wow. I just love this. I'm learning so much from you right now. Parents opt in, or is every kid going to receive this regardless?
It's referrals from doctors. So it depends on, you know, one of the things in the hospital, still not everybody knows who we are or even knows what we do. You know, there's sometimes with like, we'll walk into a room and someone's in there and they're like, this kid can't do yoga. And we're like, it's not like a yoga class. Like, we're not. What we do is different. So yeah. And then I do have some kids. I've had a referral. I've walked in and the kid's like, my grandma won't let me do yoga because of religious reasons. I'm like, okay, we walk out. So that's the other thing. Farhat, you were talking about autonomy in the hospital with your dad. Kids get all kinds of stuff. They get physical therapy, occupational therapy, all these things that automatically come around. In ours, we tell them, if you don't want us today, tell us no. We'll turn around and walk out. Like, we give them some autonomy. And we also go, we're not going to do anything you don't want to do. Like, it's very much led by, okay, you know, we've done this. How do you feel? Do you want to keep going? Do you want to do something else? Do you want us to leave? You know, so we try to be, give them that little bit of autonomy.
I mean, do this. Some of them just say, no, I'm just not in the mood. I can't do this today.
Absolutely.
But that's important too, to be able to say, no, thank you.
Yeah.
And you're mentioning your colleague that you work with. Do you two work closely together? And okay,
yes.
Maybe you should try that.
Yes.
This child, would you like to go in there and try it out? Tell me about that relationship a little bit.
So we teach the classes together because we teach different ages. Some of the ages in the inpatient classes, we're both in there in case someone has some special needs, stuff like that. And then, yeah, we just talk about every single patient. Stacy has much more of a trauma background and several times so much better connecting with some of the kids that have a lot of trauma. And whereas I walk in and they're just like, get out. I'm not even going to talk to you, you know? And I'm just like, okay. So yeah, we do. And then one of us just had an off day with a certain patient. We're like, you go check them out and see if they will connect with you. Cause you know, everyone's different. And so, and then we'll be like, oh, I did this, you know, oh, I think this kid would like this, you know, take this in next time. And so, and then also just the downloading of when we do have hard patients, that's someone that I can go like, gosh, this just sucks. You know, this kid's life is hard.
And do you ever work with the parents? Because I'm sure they're totally stressed out too.
Technically not supposed to. If a parent's in the room and they want to do the stuff the kid's doing, I'll totally let them and kind of give them some stuff too. And then there's kids that have ended up in the PICU, pediatric ICU, and they're intubated and not conscious, but we've been working with them. I'll go check in on the parents and sometimes I'll give them, I call it just the Tibetan give and take breath because, you know, we're careful with the language that we use. I'm in Texas, right? Like nobody's going to do anything that I call something weird, but I'll give them like a little meditation where it's like, breathe for your kid, you know, breathe and pull out all of the pain and let it go. And then breathe in all of the strength and energy and send it to your kid. So wow. Here and there.
Tonglen. Yeah.
Yes, that's it. I was like, I can't think of it right now.
So what would you say is the hardest part of what you are doing?
Besides, like kind of, I already said, the kids that don't have, that's the very hardest part. And then sometimes it's just the structure with that we're in, you know, I mean, we are in a Western medical model that doesn't know what we do completely, you know, and some of them are like, oh, we have yoga. I'm like, yeah, we've been here for 2 years and there was a program before. So that part is a little, you know, it can be tough at times.
Do they value it? Do they?
The ones that know about it, yes.
Okay.
And most of them. And if they like yoga too, the ones who are like, yoga helps me, yes, all these people.
That's what you mean by referral. There's maybe a nurse or a PA or someone that's kind of goes to yoga on their own and, oh, go into 34C and.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we haven't pulled in a long time. We can pull a list of who we get our referrals from and we get the majority. Well, we have some pain nurse practitioners that we get a lot from, but as we've got a neuro that she's well above, I bet she does 50% or more of ours. That,
wow.
So we go see all these neuro rehab kids. So
And do you have to like take SOAP notes and actually document what you've done? Are you part of that kind of Western medical system? So, and they've taught you, here's how I want to.
And it's really, we just have to document what we do. And I don't know if anybody but myself and the other yoga therapists read those. Maybe some people do. And then if I do find some stuff, I will go to certain physical therapists, like, oh, did you see this kid's feet? Especially someone having trouble walking and with balance. And I walked in, this one little kid had tightest, stiffest feet I've ever seen. And so I went to his physical therapist and was like, you need to keep working on his feet. So.
And is there any research out there on this type of thing?
There's a little bit. I want to say there's some on pain because it's a good non-pharmacological approach. There's not a ton. When I look for research on certain things, I end up more finding adult stuff and then kind of being like, okay, how can I, can this work for the kids?
So I'm kind of all over the place right now because my mind is actually blown that this is happening. I know two other people that are also doing something similar. Is there somebody like high up in the hospital that just kind of made an executive decision that this is important? We want to include this. We think this is valuable. Because I'm wondering for people who are listening, they're probably like, how could I get in the door with something like this? But it's very rare for a job, even part-time or full-time yoga therapist with healthcare benefits, to be listed somewhere. Like, we just don't see that yet. So, how did this happen? Do you know?
So, like I said, it was a contractor. I think the contractor knew the head of our pain clinic. Her name's Dr. Gandhi. She's fabulous. So, there was a donor, I think, who first donated to have specifically that contract put in and brought in. And then somehow that went away. But Dr. Gandhi went back to our donors and was like, we need this. And so, our program is fully donor funded.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of that. I do some work with the University of Minnesota, and they're a nonprofit, and that's how they work too. And so, again, for the listeners out there, I think that's the start of getting this into healthcare, is having people like Dr. Gandhi value it and go to bat for it. And do you know if she or he had a history of working with yoga or knew about yoga? Because usually for them, it's like a personal experience they've had, so they know what it can do.
Yeah, well, like I said, she does acupuncture, acupressure. It's funny, I was doing a workshop this spring and I was looking back through all the different people who'd been in my class since right before the pandemic, because that's when we moved back. And I found her name on my list and I was like, oh my, and like I had totally forgotten that she used to come to my class. I was like, oh, I like it all just came back. And I was like, she used to come to my classes. And it was restorative yin classes. So.
Yeah, serendipitous, you know? I'm just kind of going through the questions I have. I hope the listeners are finding this interesting. But what would you say are some reasonable outcomes? Like, if a parent said, I don't know if we want to do this, why should we do this? What are the outcomes?
Yeah, I mean, because there's some parents who's like, oh, yoga, because I mean, it's very religious here. It's like, oh, what is it? And I was like, we keep it very much on the science and fun play side, but it's giving them coping skills, Like I said, I have lots of kids that I end up teaching the Niasana breath, and the moms will tell me, one mom told me later, she's like, every time she gets frustrated with me, she starts doing this. We're giving them little skills, things they can use, whether it's pain or anxiety or whatever it is that they're not just going to use right now, that they can use anytime to help calm themselves down. So, and then hopefully little things, kids who've had some traumatic, whether it's a TBI and they're in a big accident, and just talking to them about like when memories come up, talk through them. It's okay. Like the more you talk about it, the more your body and brain are able to process it. Getting them to not be afraid to feel what comes up.
I'm kind of feeling like you're an integrator. You're talking to the PT, you're noticing some mental health issues and maybe making a referral there. You're establishing connection. You're like the lubricant of the system, that's going in to create calm and safety. And I think that could be used at any hospital for any age. anything, right?
And most of the kids already do have clinical therapists come by. That's one great thing also in a kid's hospital. Almost every single kid sees a clinical therapist unless their parents are like, no. And that's also the notes. Like, we get to see so much information before we walk in and see a kid. We've seen all this information that they've told a clinical therapist, and then all the physical side that a physical therapist has noticed. We get a whole lot. So I don't necessarily have to be like, tell me what's going on. You know, I mean, that's kind of the nice part of it, is I get to just walk in and be like, tell me about you, you know.
I'm just trying to imagine a 13-year-old girl sitting there. When you say, tell me about you, like, what might she say?
You know, at first we start to have to ask, do you like school? What's your favorite subject? What do you do with your friends? Do you play an instrument? You know, so we kind of have to start if they don't have much feedback.
So what else do we need to know? I feel like I've had all of my questions. I've just been preparing because I'm so in awe of this. What else do you think our listeners would like to know about the work that you're doing?
I don't know.
Do you enjoy it? Do you feel a
sense I do. I absolutely love it. You know, we're halftime, like I said. I don't think I could do it full time. It's a lot. You know, there needs to be that time to decompress and kind of not, because like you kind of go in, when you go into that hospital, you're on. You know, I mean, it's like you have to be in a place where you are regulated and you can connect with those kids and all the stuff. And so it does take a whole lot of self-care on the back end of consistent routines and getting enough sleep and eating healthy and exercising and time in nature. And because I have a family, I have a daughter, you know, it's so funny that I get to be in the hospital to see kids doing a certain thing. I'm like, my daughter's the same way.
So tell us a little bit more. It sounds like there's also some, are there group classes in addition to the individualized work? Tell us a little
bit. Yes. So the group classes, like I said, we teach in the mental health program. And so that's mostly fully able kids. Sometimes we have some with stuff going on. For the inpatient, we might see them once or twice. And then for the outpatient, we usually see, or the partial, we see them four times. It's so interesting watching group dynamics of kids who are in there for depression, you know, all the anxiety, DMDD, all these things, and just seeing the dynamics. And sometimes you have a great group of kids and they love it and they want to know more about it and do all this stuff. And then some kids, they're like, no, yoga. Oh, we had one that it just kept rolling. It was at least a month where these kids, so they split the partial hospital and they've got the younger kids, but like more middle schoolers, and then the more teens all together. So they split them up, and the teens for so long, and finally, like right before it switched. So Sherry, my teacher, she does all of her classes still on Zoom. And when we're talking the warmest and all that, she has people juggle. And so after I had just taken a class with her, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to make these kids juggle. So I took in these balls and was like, just start, you know, it was totally different because they were having to get up and move. Cause I mean, they'll just like lay on the floor. They won't even move. You know, they're just like, oh, I don't want to do anything. And so it switched, you know, and we get to be like, can you feel the difference in the energy in here? And I'm like, yeah. And then we're all always okay with the meditation. It was funny though, at the end of that class, I'm like, y'all want to do a guided meditation? They're like, no, I'd gotten them like too high.
Wow. You know, that's reminded me. I used to teach a class at Cal State University called Pro Prep Yoga. And it was basically teaching PE teachers how to teach yoga, future PE teachers, physical education teachers. And it was the same thing. They were way more interested in the focus exercises and in the kind of surrounding activities than actually doing the postures. So that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes to show how getting creative to get function over form. Maybe they don't want to do triangle pose, but what else could you do to create focus, create attention, create calm, create a sense of ease that maybe look anything like triangle pose?
Yeah. Or just get them to feel into their body, because the most time they don't want to be in their body. It is not safe to be in there. So even just, where do you feel your breath? If you're laying on your belly, can you feel your belly press into the ground? Is your breath warm or cool? There's a lot that we use over and over because it's like, they'll answer that. It's cold. It's warm. Which one's easier? Your inhale, your exhale. Which one's heavier? Which one's lighter? So I've always experienced my exhale as heavier. And I kind of, you think of apana, prana, you know, And so not until I started asking all the kids in the hospital, and they're like, oh, my exhale's lighter. Oh, my inhale's heavier. More often than not. And I'm like, huh. And I've had several people that I've just come across. I'm like, what? Why would this be?
That makes sense to me because
I
the
did.
exhale is about releasing and letting go. So that would be lighter. And
Yeah.
the exhale is about taking in, which would be I'm bringing something into you. So it's so cool to ask them to not just assume you know. I mean, that's another kind of theme I'm hearing with you. Like you just throw things out there and try it and see what works. And the cool thing that I found about working with kids for 25 years at Cal State University was they don't lie. They don't have a filter. They are just going to give you blunt feedback for better or for worse. So has that been your experience too?
For the most part, you get some that are goofy, you know. You ask something like, how did you feel your breath? Cookies. I'm like, what? But yes, for the most part, they're like, blah, 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 blah. You know, everything they saw, because you'll say, you know, imagine you're floating on a cloud and do a little guided relaxation, and they'll just tell you the whole story of where they went when you were, you're like, okay.
Do you like not take yourself too seriously then? Because I found with my kids at Cal State, they were going to tell it to me like it is. And if I let my feelings get hurt, it would be like daily. I would think I
Yeah.
was a failure instead of just like roll off my back. Okay, get up. Let's try something new. Come on, let's do this.
Yeah, there are many classes that we walk out, and Stacy and I, and we're like, we made it through. Like we survived. Really, if I've gotten them to breathe, to feel their breath, if I've gotten them to move anything, and I have different strategies, how do you get someone who's a lump on the floor to start to move? If I've gotten them to feel their body, to see if they can change how they feel in their body. And I don't always get that. Some are like, nope, I don't feel that. I mean, you can have them shake their hand out and you're like, how does your hand feel? I don't feel it. So, okay, we'll keep going. We'll keep trying because they may not this time, but they may the next time.
I love the idea of just planting seeds. You know, one of the other experiences that I have with kids is that at Colorado Children's Hospital, they took our charts that show the three energies, you know, the red, white, and blue charts that Optimal State has created. And the kids could not tell the teacher what they felt. You know, are you feeling restless? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you feeling angry? Are you feeling heavy? Are you feeling stuck? It took a couple of weeks of identifying the sensation or feelings they were having and giving a word to that. And they never even really got to the interventions to make them feel better because it took a long time to just identify what am I feeling inside and what is the word that goes with that. Have you had any experience having people maybe struggle a little bit to identify what they're feeling?
Absolutely. And the good thing, at least in our groups, is that there's maybe if the little kids, there's three or four, and we go through a whole thing like we get them. Do you feel this in your hands? What do you feel? You know, we ask them that constantly. And then at the end, we kind of go, why do you think we're asking what you feel in your body? You know, I don't know. And then we go, why do we call our emotions our feeling? Sometimes they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, because we feel them. And we're like, where do you feel them? In my head? Like, maybe, you know, and if it's one doesn't prompt, we'll be like, well, okay, when you feel scared, where do you feel it? You know, when you feel angry, where do you feel it? And one may go, in my hand, you know, and the other one's like, in my belly, you know, and so it kind of starts to connect the dots of, oh, and then we kind of go through with, okay, you're learning coping skills in this program. If you can feel what's happening before it gets up here, you can use those coping skills and calm it down. So we're doing a whole lot of how do we teach them to feel to then be able to change.
Gina, I'm so glad these children get to be with you, but I just feel what we're talking about today should be taught in every kindergarten, first grade, second grade in the whole United States. Why aren't we teaching these skills to kids from the ground floor so that by the time
Yes.
they get to the hospitals or wherever they're going in
Yeah.
life, they've already got some coping skills?
Yes. When we moved back here prior to the pandemic, there was my daughter's, the school system she's in had an after school program. Actually, well, I learned because I first was teaching in LAUSD in an after school program. And I was like, oh my God, I have to get these kids during school or before school because they're done after school. You know, they're like, I don't want to listen to anyone. And so I was teaching a little bit before school class. It was parents and kids. And then the pandemic hit. But I was making a plan to get yoga to all the kids in the after school. So I was always like, you know, I can only teach this many classes a week. I can't get to it all. So it's like, how do you train enough people to come in and teach, or even kids? Like, okay, can I do a program where I teach the high schoolers to come teach elementary school kids? And then it's just that you're rolling it down. And then the after school program went away after the pandemic, as many things in our Texas public schools tend to keep doing. And but still in my plan somehow. I don't know how I'm going to get
It will unfold, I'm sure. And that's
there.
why I actually like the idea of teaching physical education teachers these yoga skills, because that to me made a lot of sense. And I think a lot of kids might rather lie down and do a yoga nidra, or, you know, they might be willing to do some of these things, especially if they weren't forced to run around and get sweaty.
Absolutely.
Gosh.
Children's hospitals, there's child life specialists too. What if every child life specialist, like some of them will go and they talk to them about breathing and they have a whole lot of developmental psychology, but I'm like, what if those people are taught yoga too? And then you have someone who's seeing that kiddo multiple times a day that's able to be like, hey, here's this, here's this.
That would be amazing. Well, is there any last bits of wisdom that you'd like to share with us, or do you feel complete?
I think you kind of covered everything, but
Thank you for the work that you're doing in the world. It warms my heart to know that these children have you, and I hope other people hear about this and this starts getting implemented into many, many children's hospitals. So, thank you so much, Gina.
thank you. Good to talk to you.
Thank you so much to Gina Shelton for sharing all the details of what you're doing at Cook Children's Healthcare System. I think, you know, getting very real about what the job entails and how much self-care it takes to go in and meet with children in need. Gina had said 20 hours a week is plenty so that she can manage her family and her self-care, and she can enter into the system in a place where she's able to hold space for others. I think so many yoga teachers, because let's face it, a lot of us don't get paid enough, so we're juggling too many things, running around. We ourselves get dysregulated trying to create a sustainable living. And then what good are we to our students and our clients and our patients? The biggest thing we can bring, and I think Gina really pointed this out so beautifully, is our presence, is the regulation of our own nervous system so that we can show up in a very present way and take on the pain of that person temporarily and breathe it in and then eventually let it go. But I think it sounds like a very challenging job. Maybe some people it would be easier, but I think especially working with children in need. Whew, I am so grateful people like Gina exist, and I know there's several of you out there that are working at children's hospitals. It seems to me this would be a wonderful niche for people to explore. And I also love that Gina was so willing to share how she got in the door and what kind of administrative people were there prior to her coming to help create this program, and especially the part about getting donors. I'm seeing this more and more in our work that there is someone who cares about this kind of work and wants it to be part of their legacy. And they have plenty of money. They're looking for meaning and purpose. And so they want to fund something like this. So that might be a new thing to explore with anyone that you know that has a lot of wealth and also is looking for meaning and purpose. You could go and introduce them to this idea of, would you like to fund this at a local children's hospital? And you can even share this podcast with them so they can get an idea of what that would look like on the ground. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us this week. It's been my pleasure to be with you. And again, a big thanks to Gina Shelton, and we will see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We hope that you enjoy this content. Much of what we talk about goes right into the other work that I do. One of the really exciting things coming up soon is a program that I'm running with Mala Cunningham called Mental Health, Neuroscience, and Yoga, a peer counseling certification training. There'll be two parts. One of the parts will be online, and the second part will be in person. And at the end of this program, you will be a certified peer counselor who knows how to be in relationship with respect to mental health, neuroscience, and yoga. It's a two-weekend program, and we can't wait to invite you to learn more about it. If you're interested, go ahead and email welcome@theoptimalstate.com. Again, welcome@theoptimalstate.com, and Mala and I will get back to you to let you know the dates and locations of the program. All right, I hope you'll join us. Let's talk soon. A special thank you to our team here at Optimal State. We are truly a global family. George Mantuan, one of our executive producers. Adam Satchel, senior media producer and sound engineer from the Philippines. Krishna Panchal, a producer from Canada. Modupe Abdullahi, who does the show notes and is an editor for us from Nigeria. And Peter Morley, who wrote and produced the music for this show, who lives in Australia. Find more about Peter's work at www.zenmusic.biz. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.